The Capo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Fast and reliable AC service.
Welcome in, Campo and Joe. We took a week off because we were out at the Players, but we are ready to rock and roll. Appreciate you if you're tuning in on Facebook Live or wherever you find us in podcast form. Joe C. from XL Primetime, our head coach, Dave Campo, and we talk all things Jaguars. We talk the NFL. We have to look at free agency and everything that's gone on. But, Coach, you and I were out at the Players last week having a good time. I might have been cocktailing. You might have been honky-tonking, but we had a good time, right?
It was great. Great weather.
Yeah.
It's a classic tournament.
Yeah.
You got the best players other than these live guys now. Yeah. You got the best players in the country, in the world.
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler, number one in the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was a fun time. I was out there twice with the show, and then I went out for the final Sunday.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a great finish.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Yeah, you can't ask for more, and we repeat ourselves from time to time, but you may not realize this. That is a top five tournament in the world, and we have it right here in our backyard. And so it is a special one, that's for sure. Now, was this a top five class? Was this one of the best in the world when it comes to your Jacksonville Jaguars in the free agents? I think that's what we'll spend most of our time on today.
Okay.
Because we didn't hit it last week, and you know, there was a flurry of stuff that was taking place. Anyway, this is our opportunity. Talk to Duval Nation, Jaguar fans out there, and give an idea of what you thought. Like, maybe next week we'll look at what the starting lineup looks like. But overall, what did you think of the free agency class?
Well, first of all, I think I was a little concerned at the beginning because it really didn't look like they were going to do much. It mm-hmm. looked like they didn't have a lot of money. They were going to stand pat. You know, the comments that Trent made got everybody a little shaky, including myself.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, hey, you know, maybe they're going to stand pat and let it rip.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they did an outstanding job, a little bit like they did 2 years ago, of filling areas with not top guys, mm-hmm. but middle money guys
mm-hmm.
that are good football players. Few of them injured a little bit. That's mm-hmm. going to be an issue that you look at. But overall, I thought they filled the areas they needed to fill in order to make the draft a heck of a lot easier and where they can take the best available guy and go get the guy they need.
Yeah, it really does set up for the draft, which we'll probably put a lot of our focus on within the next month because we're counting down. We're 5 weeks away from the draft. But going back to what you said, kind of middle money guys, and you as a head coach in Dallas and many, many years as a coordinator, do you have to be smart in free agency. You can't, unless you are that, quote, one or two players away, you can't be spending a bunch of money. It'll catch up with you, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, obviously their guys have been in the league, so obviously you're going to pay more for them than mm-hmm. you are your rookie draft
yeah.
guys. And you need, you know, this is the thing that we need to be careful with, is that they have to do a good job in the draft, in my opinion, because you need a certain amount of those guys
yeah.
that are low money.
Yeah.
Not only low money, but good players. And so what you do in free agency is that you fill some areas that give you an opportunity to be more selective mm-hmm. in what you do in the draft. And to me, one of the advantages is, and I've heard this, I mean, I don't know Trent Baalke well enough to, you know, going back to San Francisco and all that, I really didn't follow him that much.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, people are saying he does better in free agency when he sees what guys have done and then bring them in as compared to making decisions on whether or not a guy's going to be really good or not. I don't know if that's the case. But I do know that the guys that he's brought in free agency mm-hmm. have been good players for us. And
yeah.
I think that's plus.
But you do know, your days in Dallas, and this is where I'll brag on Dave and that entire Jimmy Johnson staff, Jimmy sent you guys out to find talent. So you secured talent. You reached for Larry Brown, a future Super Bowl MVP. You reached for Darren Woodson and these types of guys. So that does mean something. You've got to find guys fresh out of college to build a program, not to buy a program.
Absolutely. And again, I think the advantage that you have if you're a 9-8 team as compared to a 3-14 team
mm-hmm.
is that you can take some free agents to fill a little void, but right. you still have to hit it in the draft. And like I said, the better you do in free agency to fill areas, mm-hmm. the easier it is to draft, in my opinion, because now you're looking strictly at a guy that as opposed to, I need to take this guy. I don't need to take anybody. I need to take the guy that I think has got the best chance of helping us in the future win.
Yeah. Like, I'll give you an example, and maybe Coach can come along with me on this one. But there are teams that, generally speaking, they've been so good for so long, they don't dip their toe in free agency very often. Typically, the Kansas City Chiefs don't necessarily reach and pay for a bunch of guys. Green Bay Packers don't necessarily do it. The New England Patriots, for the longest time, with Bill Belichick, they'd go out and they'd get a Randy Moss here, a Wes Welker there, Corey Dillon. You can go down the line and think of a few guys that they got, but they didn't every single year jump in. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who hardly ever did anything in free agency, their columnist Ed Bouchette says, I could take a week of vacation free agency week because they don't do anything. This year, they trade for Justin Fields and they go get Russell Wilson. Because they're now a desperate team.
Yeah. They made mistakes on those guys that they're going
right,
out. That they're not going to do any of the – look at these guys. Let's take guys and develop them.
Yeah.
First of all, development in these days is different than development years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Teams aren't willing to – the owners are not willing to give you an opportunity many times to develop anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about guys that fired after 1 year as a head coach. You got another guys that fired after 2 years, 3 years. Back in the day, they kept you, mm-hmm. you know, for a length of time to where you have an opportunity to turn a team over and then re-turn them over again. That doesn't happen anymore. So you really have to be right on top of the draft, and you have to bring in free agents that aren't going to break the bank in order to be able to do that.
They get real expensive. Now, watch this, Coach, and you guys can see this in Campo and Joe. I have a reminder that I put in my phone. I either have quotes that I write down that are my own or somebody else's, or maybe song titles, and I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to record this so I can have it. Even patience is becoming impatient. Okay? I'm just going to keep that one.
That's a good one.
Because I pulled my phone. I'm like, I got it.
You're talking about my wife.
Listen.
The older she gets, the less patient she is, let me tell you.
Listen, if we start talking about TLD and Miss K, we are both going to be in trouble. That's for sure. But even patience is getting impatient, and you've got to get to a point where you deliver results, and they have to be long-term results. And I agree with you with the mindset that Balky has done a better job of buying than building. And so if they can do something with this draft class to add to this free agent class, then maybe they can get back to that postseason performer that they were hoping to be this past year.
And I'm still counting on a Bigsby. I'm still counting on a Strange.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily build in 1 year. You
right.
know what I mean? Some of those guys, it takes them a little while to get going. Evan Engram,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, he got run out of New York,
mm-hmm.
but he has developed into a pretty darn good player. And, and so if you're willing to give a chance for some of these younger guys mm-hmm. to do it, I believe you build the team, just like you said, through the draft. That's how you build the team.
Yeah, Evan Engram's a good example. Christian Kirk's a good example of players that he was able to go get. Heck, Zay was a good example. And now we'll see with this draft class. All right, so let's just go, at least to start this, Coach, in order of how they came down the pike.
Okay.
Mitch Morse was the first guy that was announced. And you Jaguar fans probably have listened and watched and read a lot about any of these guys because we're now a little over a week from these big names coming out. But anyway, Mitch Morse and Gabe Davis. Let's start with those two and what you thought when the news came out and how meaningful they can be.
Well, first of all, I'd have to say that they've got skins on the wall, especially
mm-hmm.
Morris, keeping quarterbacks upright.
Yes.
And, you know, creating an opportunity for the quarterback to step up
mm-hmm.
in the pocket and enough of an opportunity to get out of the pocket when they have to because they don't have anybody in their face.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was probably the most critical one because of the concerns with Fortner and the interior of the offensive line. We're getting him. He's proven that he can play, and he's not over the hill. I mean, I've watched him enough to know that he's still got something left in the tank.
Do you agree with the mindset that if he's like Luke Fortner was like a disappointment, and he at average would be 50% improvement?
Absolutely, because I don't think he played very well this year, Fortner. Yeah. You know, and I've watched Buffalo enough to know that, you know, that guy's a pretty good football player. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, again, it comes down to what we talk about all the time is age come in.
A little injury concern with the old concussions.
Injury here or there, got concussions, this and that. You know, you're banking on that, but you're banking on that when you take a draft pick as well. I mean, a guy can be walking down the street, be hit by a car, and that's it. Eric Williams, we had a tackle, the only one in the world that could handle the preacher.
Reggie White.
Reggie White. He'd be in the Hall of Fame right now, but he got in a car accident. And his career didn't go the way it wanted. But, you know, I think Morris is a guy that's proven that he's a good locker room guy. He's a tough guy. He's a physical guy.
Right.
And that's what we're missing. So I'd have to say he's a real plus. When you look at Gabe Davis, I think he's one of those guys that may end up developing with the Jaguars that he didn't get enough time to develop with the Buffalo Bills.
That's good to hear.
You know, he's a guy that has proven year after year that he can catch 40, 50 passes, and he was not a number one for them. You're on the opposite side of Diggs and in a situation where he might develop into a really good number two.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that, first off, he comes with quality, hard worker, has local ties, comes out of UCF. He's just getting that second contract. Fernandina Beach, and then also ties in Jacksonville. Family loves being here. He loves coming back to be able to be with family. He is not going to replace Calvin Ridley.
Right.
Let's just make that very clear.
He's not a one.
Yeah, and we don't know if there's going to be a one. If I'm going to say one negative thing about this class, Coach, and I'm just going to speak specifically on the wide receiver room, with Calvin Ridley versus without him, they're not as good as they were with Calvin. Now, we'll find out whether I'm right or wrong, but that's at least how I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I disagree a little bit because I look back at what happened with Zay Jones. I keep forgetting the old-timer.
Yeah, the Christian Kirk.
The old-timer.
Oh, who is?
You're losing it, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the old-timer.
The fourth guy.
Zay Jones.
You got Zay Jones, you got Kirk, you got Ingram, you got from Detroit, went back there.
Oh, well, when Marvin Jones
Marvin Jones.
Yeah, but he's gone now. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The old-timer.
You had me confused. Sorry
That's
about
my
that.
Old-timer. I apologize. Yeah. I'm getting a little old. You are starting to go here. With that group of receivers, they were pretty darn good. And they were able to spread the ball.
Yeah.
And there was no, I need to get the ball to this guy.
True.
And so I'm not sure that this group, they can spread the ball around better if Zay stays, which I'm assuming he's going to.
For the here and now, he is. Yeah.
And it also gives a guy like Cooks, one of those guys that needs to develop.
Okay. I'm with
you there. Gives him an opportunity to come in there.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, with DuVernay, he is a better receiver candidate than the guy we lost, Agnew.
Yeah, Jamal Agnew.
Yeah. So to me, this might be a better group than with Ridley, to be perfectly honest with you, because I don't know that Ridley played to a true number one this year with some of the issues and that.
Yeah, he had more drops than I think people realize. He still was in the end zone a number of times, could have had a few more. We all know that. But over 1,000 yards, plus 70 catches. This team last year, when you were talking about what they were able to do, they had three guys with 70 catches or more, including Evan Ingram. And so, at the very least, the one good piece of news about Gabe Davis is that he was a favorite target for Josh Allen, and he wasn't a guy that necessarily was going to take the top off of a defense, but he had yards per catch, 16-plus. He was a get-down-the-field-and-get-open guy.
Absolutely. And what was Marvin Jones? He was the guy that never drop
big time security blanket.
Yeah, that's really what this guy is.
Yeah.
When they throw him the ball, he's going to be where they want him to be, and he makes plays. So to me, that was a good pick.
Yeah,
so again, I'm not saying that they're better or they're worse.
Right.
I'm just saying that being able to spread the ball around is is an advantage, in my opinion.
And the essence of all of this is that I do believe Calvin in year two, coming back from being basically out for 2 years.
Probably would have been
better.
Yeah.
Trevor needs to clean up his mistakes.
Yep.
A lot of what looked like would be catches might become catches, you know, all that stuff.
Yep.
But at the same time, if you do get a good Gabe, you get a healthy Kirk. Not sure what happens with Zay, but we know that Zay has been a pretty good resource when healthy to get the football to, and then Evan Engram.
Yeah.
So you and we don't know what's going to happen with Brenton Strange. That's a second-year guy that needs to come through.
The Campo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Fast and reliable AC service.
And so there are going to be weapons,
yep.
and then you just got to make sure Trevor cleans
No question. So I would say those two guys were really good picks, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then when you get to the other side, let's at least spend a little bit of time on that side of the ball, the secondary. They go out and they get Ronald Darby, a guy who also has missed time, has had a couple of years that have been injury affected, and then Darnell Savage,
a
guy who comes from Green Bay. I love the nickname Savage,
I
will go with
that.
But saying goodbye to Darius Williams, saying goodbye to Rayshon Jenkins, and then going and getting these two guys.
Well, I think that Darby fits the scheme that Nielsen runs better than Darius Williams did.
Okay. Yeah.
So, to me, I like him if he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that they're taking a little bit of a gamble. And that's one of the things that you do when you take an older guy. That's why you want the young guys that don't get injured usually as quickly as some of the older guys.
Mm-hmm.
I like that pick. I would think that there might be a chance that they might pick another corner in the draft.
Right.
But I like the pick. Savage, both of those guys are starters in the league. So they've got a starting unit right now. I liked Rayshon because he was kind of one of those guys that was, went after you and, pretty physical, but he missed a lot of tackles. So I'm hoping that Savage is a little bit better tackler than he is.
Yeah, that's what you want is a sound guy. It's the, quote, last line of defense. So if you're a safety, you need to save this team from that letting that team score. And so hopefully he'll be able to do that. And then, a couple of other guys that they got as backups. But let's spend a minute on Arik Armstead. He's 31 years old. He actually comes to Jacksonville a little bit younger than when Laclais Campbell came to Jacksonville, and he took over from the interior part of that line. What do you think about Arik?
Well, he's my number two behind Morris.
Yeah.
That's a big get, in my opinion, not only because of, his ability to he's averaged 5+ sacks.
Interior.
For an interior guy.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn good. He had a 10-sack year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no guarantee that he can't do that again. But the one thing that he does is he is physical enough to where he can stop the run, but he is big enough at 6'7" to push the pocket and get the hands up.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been missing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, the same thing has happened to Trevor with our interior offensive line.
Right.
Has not been happening with our defensive interior line.
That's a great point.
And to me, I think that press the pocket is a big deal. And I think that the better the inside guy is rushing, the better the outside guys are rushing.
Yeah,
it just all works together.
Yeah, we're talking about a defensive mind here. And it blows my mind that they haven't largely ignored the interior part of the defensive line, but they dang sure have ignored it.
Yeah.
And they thought that Foley Fatakasi and Devon Hamilton, and unfortunately, Devon Hamilton was sick. He wasn't injured. He was he was sick. But Foley did not come through over a 2-year stretch.
Right.
Roy Robertson-Harris is more of a big end that can slide inside and make plays for you. And Adam Gase is undersized, but right. still made a few plays. DeJuan Smoot hurt. Right. So, my gosh, man, they better make sure they take care of that.
If you asked me about whether we were better at receiver than we were before, we're better in the defensive front than we were before.
Yeah.
I can tell you that right now. If these guys are healthy, if they stay healthy, We're gonna be pretty good up front. I think
Yahtzee on that one, because there's no question. I'm adding it up, and you basically have seven out of the nine guys that they've signed that are starters, and that includes special teams guys, because Duvernay would be included as a starting special teamer.
Absolutely,
and of course, the Sly Cat, Joey Sly, the kicker. We'll find out whether he can get it done.
Yeah.
I know you don't like rooting for Washington guys.
Listen. We need a kicker.
Exactly. So he's a Jaguar now, at least for the here and now. All right. So when we take a look at the overall, and let's just kind of wrap this up, because you have the receiver room improved. You've replaced a liability in Luke Fortner.
Right.
You have added to an interior part of your defensive front that you really did not have. They didn't have anybody that was of quality like Eric Armstead.
Right.
You think you've gone out and you've at the very least gotten a starting safety and a starting center. Or excuse me, starting cornerback.
Right.
Antonio Johnson can compete with Darnell Savage, correct?
Absolutely.
I believe that.
Yeah, I believe that that's a plus.
Okay.
You know, the more competitive you got there, the better off you're going to be. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're forgetting Ezra Cleveland now.
Mm-hmm. True, that's
true. Getting
they
Ezra Cleveland
him.
Back. You know, to me, I think you're going to see the real Ezra Cleveland this year, as long as he stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because second year in the system – came in the middle of the year, played a game at tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to be a fixture inside, and that's a big guy. I mean, I think that he really helps in there as well.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point. And then getting Mac Jones, I wasn't crazy about taking a first-year contract, but Mac Jones, he gets to come home. He maybe has a chance in the preseason to rehabilitate his quarterback image a little bit to where people may look and say, you know what? He was just in a bad situation in New England, and somebody may trade for him. You never know.
Yep. And I think there's still a possibility out there. Who knows? There's some guys still hanging around out there. We may not get another free agent guy before it's all
over. Of course, some people have Mac replacing Trevor. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that think he was a bust.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is way off, in my opinion.
So. Cracks me up. And we were talking on XL Primetime, and we'll kind of wrap up with maybe that one last thing that you think they might be able to get in free agency. Let's do the wide receiver thing. But we were bringing up on XL Primetime that 4/5 of that 2021 quarterback draft class in the first round, 4/5 of them are backups or looking for work.
Right.
When Justin Fields was dealt to Pittsburgh, Zach Wilson's basically going to be let go or going to be dealt somehow, some way. And then you go to Trey Lance, who has already been traded and given up on.
Right.
You can go down the line with four guys that have disappointed as opposed to come through. Mac being the last, he was taken 15th overall, and he comes here as a backup.
Well, I would say that he and Justin Fields – are the two guys that maybe didn't get a fair shake.
Maybe.
I think Mac, the offensive coordinator position and the quarterback coach, there wasn't much there.
His first year, they made the postseason. They won 10 football games.
Yeah, yeah. And the only thing that separated him from everybody else to make him a backup was his interceptions.
Yeah.
And some of that is the people around them. Some of that is the scheme. When they bring a defensive guy in to be the coordinator on offense with no experience.
Yeah, they had Matt Patricia and Joe Judge up there.
I mean,
the only thing was they went and got Bill O'Brien this last year.
But again, it's another year, another system, another learning experience and all that. He's going to be a backup for us.
Yeah.
But I think he's capable of at least resurrecting his career. He may be a one-year one and done.
Yeah. It was a hot mess up there, that's for sure. All right, so let's wrap up with the idea that if I say to Duval Nation that wide receiver room isn't as good as it was with Calvin, and you disagree, but at the same time you're like, Gabe's got a chance to do something, will they go get somebody else before we pop on next week? Do you still think there's a chance that you go get a wide receiver?
Well, when you look at that group that we have, there's not a guy that I would say is a Jamar Chase or a, you know, Jefferson or a whatever. But, you know, Jefferson was not a one in college. He was number two. Chase was
Jamar.
One.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it comes down. When I say one, a guy that's, you know, elite in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
And the kid from San Francisco's got a chance after 5 years in the league of being a number one. And I just don't know. I don't feel you want to give up number 17. And you'd have to do that to get him.
I'm with you there.
So,
I'm with you there.
You know, I think you need young talent, and hopefully you make the right choice with them.
Yeah.
The one advantage of a guy like Ayuk is you've seen what he can do.
Yeah, he's a stud.
And he's a young guy, and you know, I think that's a decision that has to be made by the organization.
Yeah, he's a stud, fifth year of his deal. He wants to get paid. If you were to just listen to the, you know, the echoes that are reverberating through NFL, either scout or personnel people and agents, is that, hey, you'd have to give up 17 to get him. Then you got to pay him. That makes it pricey. Mike Williams is still out there.
Right.
There still is a possibility of a T. Higgins deal, which is more and more doubtful.
You could certainly get him for a lot less than Ayuk.
Yeah, yeah. Ayuk's a stud. He really is. So I'm just saying, go and get that 17th pick overall and do your job, Trent Baalke, and make sure you get it right.
Absolutely. Right? And I think there's going to be, as we'll talk about later, there's five or six guys that got a good chance of being there, that if you just look at it from the standpoint that you think you're making the right decision, they're there. They're going to be there.
So we have got 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks. Well, we're basically 5 weeks out from that Thursday night first round selection.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Yeah. All right. We enjoyed hanging out with you. We appreciate it. Dave Campo, our head coach, Joe C. from XL Primetime. And we will talk about those draft choices starting next week as we start counting them down. Thanks for tuning in to Campo and Joe.
This presentation of the Campo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air, faster, reliable AC service.